You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Well, I think the long term is going to be where the big challenge will come. I mean, we saw what we expected to see in many respects, which is that for some people, their mental health improved during the lockdown period. That's often the case when there's a community crisis and everybody has a sense of looking after one another and of being part of a common cause, and people feel like they're part of the community. The real challenge comes when we start thinking about the longer term and the fact that things are not going to go back to exactly what they were, and you know, that can become a real challenge. And of course, we're facing with COVID-19, you know, the potential economic impacts of that. I mean, people are already, you know, losing jobs. You know, some businesses are falling over. So, you know, that's where the real challenge lies in how we respond to that situation is going to really indicate, you know, what will happen in terms of mental health. And so, you know, that's why this week is Mental Health Awareness Week, and we've themed that He Terohanga Anamata, reimagine your well-being together. And that's about sort of reminding everybody that, you know, even in tough times, there are things that we can do to build up our mental health and well-being in positive ways. And this is the sort of stuff that, as well as support services, we really need to build into the way all of us as a community respond to COVID-19.
And obviously, you know, with COVID, as you mentioned, comes a whole host of other issues which deeply affect the community. So realistically, are we looking at a growing number of Kiwis who will be struggling with mental health problems?
Well, I think it's hard to say. Probably, it definitely will put some pressure on people's mental health, but it depends a lot on the supports that are available, and that's right across the board. That's not just services to support people, it is also the encouragement and information and guidance people receive as to how to cope with the challenges and things that you and I and everybody else can do in their own lives to build up that sort of resilience, building our mental fitness. And these are things that we should be doing whether COVID was here or not. But in a tough time, they're even more important than ever.
And I just wanted to get your thoughts on the Mental Health Commission established by the government earlier this year. Did you believe this was an adequate response to findings from the government inquiry into mental health and addiction?
Well, it's only one part of the response. The government accepted 38 of the 40 recommendations of the inquiry, and you know, one of those, or a bunch of those, were around setting up the commission. And the commission's an important piece of the puzzle. It really needs to monitor the progress against the whole plan of those 38 recommendations and kind of keep the government honest, whoever the government might be, in terms of keeping that progress going. It's certainly, you know, if it was just a SOP, you know, that we set up a commission and nothing much else is happening, then that would not be okay. But I don't think that is what's going on. We are, you know, looking forward to seeing an actual plan of how those 38 recommendations are going to be put into practice. Some of them are already, you know, being taken forward, and that's really good to see. But because it's a really long-term process, it's not something that can be fixed in 1 year or, you know, 2 years. It's really a 10-year process. And so we need a plan so that it's not just going to fall to the back burner. And, you know, the commission's role is to make sure it doesn't, but then we need to see the government come up with an actual implementation plan so that we can have confidence that whoever is in government, you know, things are going to continue to improve.
And coming up to the election, parties have started to release some of their mental health policies. So, for example, the Greens wish to provide free counselling to everyone under 25. National is looking at requiring schools to teach mental health skills. How do you feel about preventative mental health measures Do you feel like they're effective in mitigating the problem in the community?
They absolutely are, and there's lots of research and evidence to show that. And there's different levels of prevention. I think both of those policies are good policies. Getting into schools and providing the right sorts of programs that that support children to understand and have skills about how to manage their thoughts and feelings and emotions. You know, that's going to be hugely beneficial. And you know, we've seen we've got programs like Pause, Breathe, Smile and Sparklers and a range of other programs that already are in schools, but they need to come up to scale. They need to be available for all children. Counselling for people under 25, I mean, that's absolutely the right thing to do. We know that for many people, long-term issues with their mental health begin early for the majority of people, so actually providing that early support for people under 25 is, you know, it just makes sense, really. But there are a range of other measures that need to happen. You know, we need to see improved maternal mental health, really counselling and sort of non-drug therapies need to be much more widely available and much more affordable for everybody. So there's a big agenda of change, and I think, you know, it is spelled out in Te Ara Oranga, the report of the Mental Health Inquiry, and you know, we have had the government accept 38 of the 40 recommendations, and nothing that any party is announcing at the moment is out of step with that inquiry. So it's encouraging to see that there is more of a consensus and more of a recognition of the need to address the mental health and the positive mental health, you know, build up our mental fitness as a nation. You know, that seems to be something that all political parties are now much more conscious of and willing to invest in.
So what would you expect to see from future governments to continue this work?
Well, like I say, I'd like to see a plan so that we can have some certainty about the commitments that they're going to make, but it really needs to be across a range of issues. So for many people, issues around their mental health is much more about what happens to them in their lives than about, you know, catching something like COVID-19. And so things like child poverty, family violence, racism, bullying, homelessness, all of these things, you know, have proven links to negative outcomes for people's mental health. So really continuing to work much harder to address those social conditions that impact on people's mental health is absolutely vital and will probably have the biggest impact overall on positive mental health. Then I think, you know, equipping people with the skills, the encouragement, the knowledge to be able to work on their own mental and emotional fitness, and again, it is like physical fitness. We don't have to all be gym bunnies. You know, there are lots of little things you can do each day and build into your lifestyle that have a scientific and proven background to show that they will uplift your mental health and improve your well-being. And people need to be encouraged to do those things. They need to be supported to do those things. Mental Health Awareness Week this week is just a taste for people of those kinds of activities, those kinds of experiences, so they can feel the benefit of it and hopefully turn those things into little habits in their life. But that's another big tier that needs to be in there. And you'll notice I haven't mentioned services yet. So, you know, that comes next. And really, if we've got those first two tiers in place, there'll be much less need for services. But again, then we need early support. That's where there's a big focus at the moment, linking mental health support to GP practices, to Marae-based services, to Pacifica community services, so that people don't have to wait till they're in crisis before they can get any kind of formal support. Access to counselling for young people really fits within that framework. We need much better crisis response. We know we have a major issue with suicide in New Zealand, and we need to be able to respond when people are really in that crisis point very effectively and much more consistently across the country. And then we do need, you know, even if we have great preventive measures happening, there will be people like me who live with conditions such as bipolar disorder, and there will be times when we need intensive support. Now that support needs to be done with recovery and support into the community as its primary objective, and it needs to be supported and resourced so that we don't have situations like overcrowding, so that we don't have situations like you have to get into a hospital to get support, but we have much more support, intensive support in the community. So there are those multiple layers that need to be addressed. We also need to make sure we're addressing stigma around mental health, because if people are too frightened to talk about mental health, too ashamed or frightened to seek help, then the whole system cannot work as well as it needs to. And we need to make sure that it's addressing the specific needs of different parts of the population, be that Māori, Pacifica, Asian, the rainbow community, young people, older people. We need to make sure that the responses fit the needs of those different parts of our dynamic and diverse Aotearoa. So, as you can tell, it's a very big agenda, but the benefits are huge.
So just going back to what you were saying about stigma, how can we ensure that education surrounding mental health is going towards all New Zealanders, not just those struggling, so those who aren't struggling will be able to provide support within their community?
Well, I think, you know, that's one of the purposes of things like Mental Health Awareness Week. And again, while it definitely, you know, provides tips and hints and guidance for people who are struggling, it's also, you know, it's targeted at the whole population. The theme is reimagine wellbeing together. And I think we got a good taste during lockdown of the fact that we need to care for one another, we need to look out for one another to, you know, boost our spirits, to boost our mental health and well-being. So the more people are exposed to that positive mental health, that positive well-being stuff, I think, you know, that is a safe way that people can start to talk about mental health.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.